Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Bradford Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradford Show.
That's delicious.
Baseball season's here, so I guess we have to preview it. Consider this the not-so-special preview podcast. I hate previewing seasons. I hate predictions, but we do it because this is what you do when the first game of the season's rolling around. So that's what we're doing. Manager Lou Maloney, pitcher Nick Fryer, joining me to preview the season. And basically what we do, can the Red Sox win it or can't they win it? And then you get into why they can or can't, some over-unders. It's a good conversation about the team, but let's be honest. Like, we have a week from now, we're going to be completely changing all of this. So that's fine. But we have to do it. We have to do this. The not-so-special preview podcast. This is it. And, of course, we're storming on into the season with our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Is there anybody better? And the answer is no. Still well over 30 pounds, storming to 40. Gonna hit 50 by April 24th. That's the goal. 50 pounds lost by April 24th. So we're honored to have Awaken 180 Weight Loss as part of the whole deal here. Baseball season's upon us, so hey, let's talk some baseball.
All right, it's time for that moment which we anticipate every single year. I hate special sections in the newspapers. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them because they are a total waste of allocation of resources. I have pitcher Nick Fryer, Lou Maloney, manager Lou, with me. Do you guys like special sections? Do you read them anymore?
No.
Not like when you're a kid.
No. Not so much. I mean, you break down like the opening day roster. You can be a bio on every player.
And they have a theme. They have a
riveting
theme. There's not enough time to read anymore.
No.
And you guys, I think that you guys know how much time it takes to put those things together.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Like, how long does it take?
They'll take the beat writers and say, you're only doing this for at least a week. Like, they'll fly Shaughnessy and Alex Speer down, say to Pete Abraham and Nick Cafardo, you're going to do desk special section stuff. And it's to advertising, okay, but to win a prize, best special section, it drives me nuts because it's such eyewash. It's such an old school way
term,
of doing it.
Eyewash.
It's
use
a great
it all
term.
The time now.
All right.
I'm beginning to wonder if you actually know what that means.
Nah, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. Mutt didn't know what imbibe meant the other night.
Oh, shocker. Mutt didn't know what something meant.
Leverage?
Know what leverage is, but I said, talking about drinking imbibe, but he didn't believe that was a word until he looked up. Of all the people who should know this, Mutt. So anyway, so what we do traditionally to mock this special section on WEEI.com. It's the not-so-special section. And in this case, it's going to be in podcast form, the not-so-special preview podcast, again, with pitcher Nick and manager Lou. And I think that instead of in the tradition of or in the spirit of not getting into the weeds with this stuff, let's just start. I mean, there are only what? I heard you talk about this on your show today.
Four.
You think four. Now, one
the American
team,
League.
Yeah, four teams that you think can legitimately win it all. Win
yes.
it all.
Yes.
In the American League.
And then it might be another four that you might think are probably going to be the other wild.
And the American League. I will say this. I might agree with you, but I might disagree in this respect. I think the Twins might be right there.
Oh, yeah. They're probably the leading candidate to be the wild card. Everybody loves the Angels. I think their staff is kind of a mess, but we'll see. I don't think Baltimore's going to go away.
No.
I think Baltimore.
Really?
I think Baltimore could be all right.
Eh.
I do.
No.
See, Gossman second half and Dylan Bundy could step up with Cobb. They still got some offense. I mean, I don't know. They're always seem to be there. But I'm just saying, it's four teams.
Of recent.
Then there's four or five teams that might get that last wild card, and that's it.
So, but I don't put the Twins. I don't want to start this out with breaking down the Twins. I put the Twins?
No. I'm not ready to put them.
Do you like the Twins?
Put them in the category where they're in contention to win it all, or
no? I mean, I think they could
to
potentially.
Win the wild
are they in the same class as the Yankees, Red Sox, Cleveland, and Houston?
Indians? No. Indians? Yes.
But
as the Indians,
better lineup, potentially a better. Oh no, just as good a bullpen. If you have Addison Reed setting up Fernando Rodney. Right, Addison Reed to me was like, oh my god, the Minnesota Twins get a closer to be their setup guy.
I've never been behind the Reed hype. I don't,
and maybe
I don't
it's just because I've seen him play 30 times. But as I saw them play, I'm like, oh, this is a good lineup. Anyway, I don't want to start with
the same level as the Indians, though. Jeez.
All right, so this I want to loop back. So this we want to preview.
Good
so
idea.
It's a great way to do this, and I'm saying it's a great way to do it because it's the way that I wanted to do it, which is let's just say the Red Sox. Where did the Red Sox fall in all of this?
They're in the mix. They've done enough to win the American League.
That's not
League.
Good enough.
What do you mean?
I think they're the candidate to win
the No, but they were one of the four teams that can win the American League. Without J.D. Martinez, you were not in the mix. It was without J.D. Martinez, there were three teams in the American League. Then there were you. And then there were, as you said, the Twins and everybody else in my mind, okay? But now that you signed J.D., this is the thing. It's like you want more than that. Anything more than that is bullshit because they're in the mix. Are they gonna win the whole thing? That's just anybody can just flip a coin
right,
and say yes or no.
So
they're one of four teams that can win.
Okay, because this is the time of year where we do such things. Rank the four teams that you're talking about.
See, that's what I mean.
I know. It's like I know, Lou, that it's
Houston's
not an easy
number
thing
one.
To do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. New York is two, Boston's three, Cleveland's four.
Okay. Nick?
I don't
That's not a good answer.
I don't know that I can disagree with that. I think that what's not a good answer?
Maybe
I agree with Lou. What do you want me to do?
Cleveland might be three, Boston might be four. Here's the thing
I'm not getting defensive.
Here's the one thing about Boston, and I understand that, but because I think that the Red Sox are getting more credit outside of this city than they are inside.
Oh, no. I totally disagree with that.
Okay, I think people outside sit there and say they got Sale, they got Price, they got Kimbrel on the back end, you got Porcello, you got Pomeranz. They look at this lineup and they're like, man, this guy should be there. But what you can't, the reason why they should be fourth probably when you put in that list is that all these other teams have actually accomplished something. They've won playoff games. They've won series. And this group hasn't.
That's fair.
See, but this last year, if they had the one-game playoff in the wild card, I think we all felt that they would lose that game if it came to it, even with Sale after how he deteriorated starting in August. Now, though, I feel, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the way they're carrying themselves. Maybe it's because of Cora. I don't know. But something about them.
How can you feel they're going to win that one-game wild card? They didn't play the freaking game yet, Nick.
Because I'm well aware of
you
that.
What do you know about this team? They don't know anything about this team.
What I know about this team is they're changing their approach and how they handle their pitchers, which makes a big difference in Sale's case for sure because we saw him break down. If
more
he can
analytics.
Maintain. What?
More in a...
What?
I don't care about the
other. The other three teams have won in the postseason.
Yes, I understand
that. Young
that.
Yankees group, that wild card, and a series.
Well, this
you say they're in the mix. I say they're
the
wild card team. I mean, could they win the division? Absolutely. But I think they're going to be that first wild card
team.
Well,
this speaks to, you asked Nick, Lou, is like, how do you know? I mean, I think this is one thing that I think people are sleeping on with the Red Sox. We talk about the managing changes, the analytics changes, the J.D. Martin. We don't know if any of this is going to translate. We don't know. One of the things that drove me nuts in the first few days of spring training, you were down there, the fun thing. Like, I don't give a shit if they're having fun.
Right.
I don't care.
Well, let me ask you, because I want to go back to that, because you said that You really do think that what people in Boston think more highly of this team than people? Because I think people in Boston don't believe in this team. I've heard it before. They're not going to do it. It's almost like there's a certain, it's just the pink hats, right? The Red Sox fans will watch. But there's a group of people that are like, they won't show me nothing until they win a series in October. So these people are going to just sit around all summer long and not watch a single game. And if they win a series in October, they're all of a sudden going to go, oh, maybe I'll pay attention to the ALCS.
Maybe, but is that just the Twitter trolls that you're talking about that doesn't care? But,
just them, though. I think there's others involved, too.
Yeah, there are certainly others involved. And I mean, with David Price, with how he's done over the past couple of years, I can understand that portion of it. People aren't sold on Martinez. I get it. After what happened with Sale at the end of the year, I get that too, and then you look at everybody else. Bogarts has not.
They don't trust him. They don't believe in him.
And I get that, and I understand that. And should they necessarily? No, I do. And again, it comes down to how they're preparing for this season. I think that makes a big difference. You can't tell me altering your preparation can't affect your performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Sale, who's kind of trying to slow things down a little bit. You have Bogarts, who's finally addressing the fact that he is a shitty fielder. You have,
I think what you have is you have a very good team that is very talented, that won the American League, that, and where it's unique is that I would say probably 90% of the roster has something to prove.
Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's a great thing. It's very unique because very often, I mean, I shouldn't say often, but like it's unlikely that a team that wins a division comes back the next year with a chip in their shoulder, like they got something to prove because they all individually fell below expectations,
mm-hmm.
which is what this team did, except for Sale, Kimbrel, Pomeranz, Benintendi, Vasquez. Like everybody else sat there and said, man, whether it's Pedroia proven it can be healthy, whether it's Bogarts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts. I mean, they got a lot of big – Rick Porcello, David Price. They got a lot of big-name players who have a lot to prove, which is strange given that they won the American League last year.
And I think Sale, you could kind of throw into that group to some extent because –
yeah, because he failed.
Because he failed at the end of the year. And you know that he's as competitive as anybody else out there, so he kind of feels like he has something to prove.
Yeah.
Which is why I agree with you to the extent that they're in the mix. But if I had to pick who's going to win the AL East, either the Red Sox or the Yankees, I'm picking the Yankees right now.
But I think it's closer than people say, though.
That's fair. I agree with
because
that.
I think the Yankees have there's a very good chance that the 2018 Yankees could look like the 2017 Red Sox. In that all these guys had career years last year, they don't back it up.
To me, you come back to that question of like why I think people outside Boston, you think that they're giving the Red Sox more credit than inside Boston. I'm juxtaposing against the Yankees. And I was on like Chicago station, and they said, who do you think is going to win the American League East? And I said, that day, I go back and forth. I think the Red Sox. I think they are. And they're like, what? Really? I said, what would be the percentage you think, these people in Chicago, of the country who thought that? They're like 80-20 Yankees. And I think it's in large part because they see these 2 7-foot-5 guys in the middle of their order, and they like that image coming off a year that they were really, really good. But for me, the Yankees, there's a very real avenue for the Yankees to fall behind the Red Sox, and the Red Sox being better than the Yankees, is the rotation.
Yeah,
it just is.
But, Tanaka's a guy who I look at who has looked like shit over the past, over the years, not lived up to that hype, but he pitched a lot better than I expected he was going to last year. Could he do that again? Possibly. Obviously, Severino, I think, is for real. Is Sabathia going to be the same guy that he was last year?
He's not going to have a sub-4 ERA again.
But does he need to have a sub-4,
Severino
though?
And Gray, and the kid Montgomery, a little lefty. Mm-hmm. And Tanaka's kind of big, but their bullpen is the big advantage to me. And just playoff experience and winning in the postseason.
Yeah, and so you look at, so that's fair. So you have this, say, the Red Sox potential upside, I think, is for the starting rotation is bigger than the Yankees. We can agree with that.
Without a doubt.
Sale, Price, even Pomeranz, 17 wins and 3.20 ERA. And
Porcello.
Eduardo Rodriguez, Porcello, potentially Stephen Wright, who knows. But the bullpen to me is maybe the swing thing here because immediately that's what the national people say. They like, look, how can you compare the bullpen?
You can't.
Well, Robertson, Betances, and Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Names, proven track record. To go to your point, track record. The Red Sox at least have the potential to match up because I think Chapman's going, he's starting his career path.
And Betances had issues last year,
Kimbrel's the only guy you can mention compared to any one of those guys.
Right now, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you wanted to take, and I hate doing this because projection, the Red Sox have screwed this up many times, saying we're projecting the five starters to be good. If you're projecting Carson Smith, you can do this. Carson Smith from his Seattle days, if he's like that, he's right there.
Yeah, but they got a couple other guys you can do that with, too. Who's the kid they got from Chicago as well? Cantley?
Oh, Cantley, yeah.
Okay, so you can, project him to be the closer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep projecting,
I'll take your Cantley and match him with a Joe Kelly.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Like they have a couple other guys other than those four that you could project. Like, I don't know, Carson Smith, could he be great? Sure. Joe Kelly, sure.
Give me another one. Sure. I'll throw Tyler Thornburg at you.
Tyler Thornburg, you guys heard. Who knows? So it's all
Matt Barnes and 30 seconds between pitches. I'll give you that one.
You feel as good for the Red Sox bullpen as you do the Yankees?
No.
And that's
ask me this.
That's why they say
much like many of the things you mentioned. Ask me this in a month.
But one thing about
because they had a good bullpen last year. I mean, you don't win that many extra innings.
See, I don't think a month is really going to change.
Ask me in two months.
Last year they did have a good bullpen for 4 months. They had the best bullpen in baseball, and I kept saying it wasn't good enough. They needed to go find a guy that's not going to crap themselves in the eighth. And I kept being told that their bullpen is great. And what they do, they went out and got Addison Reed, and they wouldn't let anybody else touch the eighth because they knew that their bullpen was smoking mirrors.
Well, the problem is that when you hit, you know, with Kelly, with Barnes, these guys, they can be great for 2 months, and then all of a sudden they're bad for a month, and you need somebody else, and then all of a sudden they pop back up in September. This is a problem.
I just feel like even when they were dominant, you just sat there and said, "What are they dominant with?"
Well, the other thing
that they blowing your way with
is because John Farrell did such a good job.
Well,
with the bullpen.
That's kind of what I was going to say. Is half the battle with a bullpen being successful too is having a manager who handles it accordingly. You know, Lou, that pitchers, especially bullpen pitchers, are a totally different animal than any other athlete. They're strange dudes. I mean, for lack of a better term. They don't know what their role is. Some of these guys, I mean, look at Kimbrel. He doesn't want to throw outside of the ninth inning. As much as he can say it to us as much as he wants, it's pretty clear that he doesn't. So when you have a manager who's kind of, you know, this guy's role is this today, and then it's going to change tomorrow, 2 weeks could look completely different.
Yeah, we don't know how that's going to work. I mean, it's that whole thing, and I know
what I'm saying is if Cora handles it differently than Farrell, that could play a piece in it, too.
Yeah, but see, that's like the on paper, this isn't as bad as bullpen by committee 2003. Where were you, San Diego?
Yeah, I came back later on.
Right,
in the year.
So you weren't there for the whole like beginning of the bullpen.
Fox.
But you weren't born yet, Nick. And so, but yeah, Fox, Embry,
opening day, right? Gave it up.
Howry. Oh yeah, yes, yeah. Kyle Crawford, Terry Shumpert. But the whole idea was like what we're talking about now: bring the best guy in the most important time. The problem is there wasn't a best guy. And the other problem was, and I think this has changed a little bit from even when you played, Lou, guys wanted to know when they were going to pitch, to your point.
Yes, thank you.
Guys wanted to know when they're going to pitch. I don't know if it's they're that obsessed over it as much as they used to be, but that does factor in. And now, so when we're talking about Cora and this Kimbrel thing, you better find the guy who is okay to pitch in the ninth inning. Because it's not just that you're good, and you know this, Lou. I mean, the ninth inning's different.
Well, it's the toughest 3 outs.
Hitters have different approaches.
Yep.
Nick, absolutely. You know this too. I'm going to give you credit.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's
you played a great game before.
Yes, I did. And the thing is, Rob, too, I think now we talk about how the team's different and how you have to have a different manager for this team. The players now definitely care more about when it is that they're going to throw, knowing their role, because it's just a different generation of players. I mean, they're not.
I thought that was always important, though.
But that's
knowing when you're going to come in. And, like, for the most part, like, you don't need a bullpen coach because the guys know, hey, if we're down 2 or 3, I'm in the game. We're down by 6, I'm probably got to get up because I'm coming in the third. I'm the long guy. I'm the guy, unfortunately. Until something changes around here, I'm the guy that comes in when we're losing.
Then
I'm the guy that comes in when we're up a run.
How Farrell managed those guys in that role, I mean, that makes a big difference to my point earlier. So if Cora can handle it where these guys know their role all the time, it doesn't change week by freaking week.
When you're doing that with Kimbrel, when you're doing what they're talking about with Kimbrel, that's not going to be possible. That's just not. And the most important guy in that equation, it's not saying, hey, Carson Smith, you know that you're going to have the ninth if Kimbrel pitches in the seventh or eighth. It's Craig Kimbrel. Craig Kimbrel is saying all the right things now. Saves are a pretty stat. All of that. But the fact of the matter is that contract year saves equal Hall of Fame down the road. Ninth inning mentality.
Oh, I still think that's going to be a difficult conversation, because last year when he came in to clean the eighth, it was fine as long as you gave me the ninth and I got the save.
You know,
now we're talking about you pitching a clean eighth,
right,
coming out of the game and giving the ninth to Thornburg or Barnes or Kelly or
right.
Smith. You don't get a save. You like H's? You like holds? Because you're going to get a couple holds.
That'll get you in the Hall of Fame.
And I don't know how that's going to go over.
You know who crapped on that in a broadcast we were on? Tony La Russa.
What about it?
He crapped on that idea.
Of pitching him in the eighth?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is the guy who invented the ninth inning, the one inning, ninth inning. And so it surprised me he worked for the organization that is going to do this. And he's
he believes in how important that ninth inning is, I'm guessing.
Right. Right.
But, I mean, we've said this before. I think we agree. I mean, I don't know if they posed this one on him. And it was just like, all right, well, Tony, you're in Yankee Stadium. You're up a run, and it's Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez. You know, do you want an eighth inning guy, or do you want your closer to throw that eighth inning with those three guys coming up and then giving the next inning? Like, you could save freaking Kimbrell for the ninth, but guess what? That shit's over with because someone just hit a two-run bomb off Joe Kelly. Yeah. Why the hell are we saving Kimbrell?
That's the whole thing, right? You better make sure that you have a guy that can do it. And right now, you can say that Carson Smith could. You don't know.
Well, it's one of the things that I felt like that this is where the game is. It's like that double closer, right? And this is what all these teams are doing now. You have like these two closers.
That's why I
unfortunately you had a guy that didn't know how to use either one of them, right? And John Farrell. You know, when you had a guy like Ziegler closing in Arizona, you had a guy like Addison Reed closing in the past as well, and he still used them as situational guys. Right. But still, it's so this year, do they have a second closer? Because you better, if you're going to bring in Kimbrell, you better have someone who has the stones to pitch tonight. And you could say that pitching tonight is just three outs, but I've seen a lot of guys who are great in the eighth get the ball in the ninth because someone's hurt and they crap all over themselves. They can't handle it.
Well, and the other part of the equation, too, if we're talking about the bullpen, like, okay, you might not carry a lefty. You're not prioritizing carrying a lefty. Where if you did carry a lefty, a guy that you knew could get lefties out, you have that one lefty in the ninth inning. If you do that with Kimbrell, you have that one lefty. That's when you bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't necessarily agree with that whole mentality, with this group that they have, of not needing a lefty. And I think you do.
Well, I'm sure he's got a ready in mind, but who's very effective against lefties.
Go look at the numbers. Carson Smith, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, other than Kimbrell, no. I mean, Joe Kelly, Matt Barnes, no. Henry, definitely not.
Do you buy that he really means that he's not going to use a lefty necessarily? I understand we'll know by that time. But
well, as you're listening to this, we know the answer to this. but here's the thing, is that this is going to come up.
Yeah, but the problem with that, too, is let's just say at this point there's no kind of stud lefty, right?
Right.
We agree with that?
Like these guys have had their chances other than Bobby Pointer.
Right.
These guys have had – Roenis Elias I saw come out.
Robbie Scott.
Yeah, right. But I saw Roenis Elias the first day he said, I'm going to drop down against lefties. Literally throw sidearm against lefties and throw overhand against righties, which I'm like, oh, my goodness, he's throwing sidearm 94 with a wipeout curveball. This is going to work. But you know what the problem was?
Inconsistent.
Oh, yeah. Well, try changing arm slots in the middle of an inning.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. So now you go with that theory of, you know, you'd like to have a lefty for the ninth to face that guy. None of these guys we're talking about, you have enough confidence to be like, I'm going to give you the ninth, even for a hitter. Because you might as well just throw it a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so these guys, Elias, going to bring him out in the ninth inning to face the leadoff lefty?
No, no, no.
You might as well give him a leadoff walk and then bring your closer in. So what good is that?
No.
You don't have confidence in those guys. It's not like you're getting a veteran left-handed reliever that is just money. That you're like, I feel good about this guy. You don't have one.
What is the thing that concerns you the most about this team?
Getting the ball to Kimbrell.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't be my first one. Well, how about you, Nick?
I would probably say Price and Porcello. I don't know what they're going to look like this year. And you need those two if you're going to be successful.
That's a big
one. You're going to have a chance.
Those are big.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is infield defense.
Yours?
Yeah, infield defense, because you have Devers who...
With the start, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is the question that, and I think that what Cora does is he's trying, whether it's Hanley's going to hit third, Rafael Devers is going to be fine at third, you know, things like that. I think he's trying to build these guys up, and I understand that's fine, but if we look at it right now, you have Devers who's still really inconsistent at third, you have Nunez who is a very valuable player, but a statue at second.
Yeah, no range.
Well, and he has less range now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about going into the game, and Bogaerts, like you said, Bogaerts has gotten and worked at some things, yes, and maybe might be a little bit better, but he's not going to be perceived as a guy who's mm-hmm. an unbelievable range. Potentially, you have Hanley Ramirez at first. So you look at that infield defense. How can you not have defensive replacements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I would agree. Infield defense. Yeah, there's not much there.
Yeah,
and we'll see how that develops.
I've turned you around.
No, I still think it's bullpen.
Yeah, and I would say that's number two to my issue with Price and Porcello.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, is Matt Barnes going to take the step? Is he going to pitch like he did it at home last year?
Yeah,
on the road as well.
When Thornburg gets back, how does he look?
Does Joe Kelly look? Does the eye test match the numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Like with Joe Kelly. Like, you know, look at his numbers, you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. If you take the strikeouts, I'm talking about ERA, yeah, runs given up, hits and everything else, batting average against. But there's still, like, do you feel as confident? Like, I want him to take that mound. I want him to, you know, secondary pitch for strikes, blow fastballs by guys. I want him to be that dominant reliever. So until you see that, and Carson Smith, I think the power's down a little bit, isn't it? Used to be more like 94. Now he's a little bit low 90s.
He's been right at 93,
lately? Okay, well, already he was down a little bit. But still, yeah, it's
you know,
it's still
down,
getting the ball.
Workman is, yeah, he's not.
He's a non-factor in my eyes. It's just a matter of when you can get Thornburg back and how he's going to look. What does Smith look like at the start? Because if you have those two guys who can man the eighth, who can also man the ninth, Lou, if they have that Sanchez,
Thornburg,
Stanton,
Smith, and Kelly.
Kelly's your eighth inning guy, double closer type situation?
Maybe sixth or seventh guy, build confidence, and eventually maybe be that eighth.
But
inning
that's so you think he could eventually become that? I don't see.
By the way, you know who the lefty? This lefty in the bullpen is going to be is Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
When Erod comes back.
Yeah. That's not even a question.
But do you see...
You'll give him the ninth.
Sure.
Just because he's a lefty?
I feel good about him.
No, you don't.
If he pitched well against the
I like him, but
spring
no.
Spring training.
Not the ninth. Out of the pen.
All I'm saying about the bullpen is that I don't see having that third guy in Kelly, or anybody else for that matter, as being that replacement closer. I just don't think that Kelly has that kind of persona or approach or whatever
you want. Ball four.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Look, sixth or seventh inning, all about Kelly. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But I think Thornburg has a little bit of history dealing with the eighth inning, dealing with the ninth inning, handling whoever's up at bat. Doesn't matter if it's the best guys in the lineup or not. Same thing with Carson Smith. Different types of pitchers, obviously, with their style and their arm angle.
You know what?
As long as one of them works out, 1 second.
One it. No.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, I have to interrupt you.
Go ahead. It. Yeah, if you interrupt me, that's fine.
One has one more rib than the other.
That's what you interrupted me for?
Yes, yes. I have to get to the over-unders. We have to go. We have to beat track.
Okay, fine.
All right. Our good friends at Bovada,
you
know Bovada,
yep,
Lou. You know them really
know
well.
Them well.
They came out with the over-unders,
yep,
and we love them for it. I'm going to give you the Red Sox ones.
Okay.
You tell me over-under, each of you. Andrew Benintendi, .285 batting average. Lou?
Over.
Okay, over. Nick?
Over.
Okay. I am going to go under. He hit, what, 270? He went under last
270,
year.
Yeah.
Andrew Benintendi, stolen bases, 20.5.
He stole 20 last year, didn't he?
Yep, under.
Yeah, no, I'll go over.
I'll go over.
He's going to be a monster.
Too, even though he's big.
Yeah, exactly. He's a monster, so he's not going to steal as much.
Home runs. Home runs, 19.5.
Benintendi?
Yeah.
Over.
I'll go
over.
Yeah,
290, 22 RBIs. Stolen bases.
And
got it all mapped out already.
I do.
Huh?
I already know.
You know what? We're not the one.
That's why you're the manager.
I'm not going to. I'll do one Yankees, but first we'll stay with the Red Sox. Mookie Betts, batting average 290.
It sounds about right. Can I go push?
Yeah.
You can go push.
No.
That's what I was going to do.
Two pushes.
Yeah.
I'll go over on that.
No, I'm going to go under on that. It's going to be a high 280s, but he's going to hit 30 plus.
Okay. Home runs, 24.5.
Way over. Easy.
Oh,
easiest
nice
bet in the book right now.
Yep.
I'm going to give you a better one in a little bit. Mookie Betts stolen bases, 25.5.
I don't know how many he had last year.
I'm going under.
He had about that.
He had about
you know
that.
What? Is, but again, we talk. Do you guys think that the potential for four 2020 guys?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's amazing that it's never been done.
I know.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, no, they can I do didn't that. Know that at the time when we found out.
Like the Jackie, though. 20 bags, really, from Jackie? Is that what you're counting on?
Yeah.
Because he stole seven,
no, because like, according to him,
he
wasn't allowed to
he's
steal.
He's not a burner. He's a situational guy.
J.D. Martinez, they only have home runs.
Yep.
39.5.
Under.
Under.
I'll have to go under two. I think he's
going to get hurt. I don't think he's
going to
do that.
I think he's going to get hurt.
Going to get hurt? What do you mean going to get hurt?
35.
How do you predict he's going to get hurt?
Because I have to predict something. So the last one, this is the ultimate. You talk about Lou, go find Jimmy Shapiro over at
Bovada. I think 24 and a half for Mookie home runs is the easiest one over. He's going to hit over 24
well,
and a half.
Without you
a
tell doubt. Me after I 34. Tell you this one.
What?
Aaron Judge.
Yep.
39.5 and a half home runs.
So obviously you're saying put money on over. He's going to hit 40.
No, I'm going under.
On Judge?
Yeah. I mean,
I say over. He battled through that slump last year, Rob. He's the real deal. He's fine.
We'll see.
You don't need to see. You know it's going to happen.
I think 24 and a half home runs for Mookie is the easiest bet. He just told me.
Okay. You think the Judge one's an easier bet? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I really think that he's not going to do what he did last year.
Okay.
Anyway.
But over 39 is still doing not what he did last year. If he only hits 42.
Right. He's going to hit 35, and we're going to call it a day, and I'm going to look like a genius.
Only if he gets hurt.
All right.
Misses a month.
There you go.
World
got a couple last, of injury predictions
he misses
here.
2 months, he might get 39.
last thing, World Series and winner of the World Series.
Oh,
Lou
my
first.
God.
Do it.
World Series. Let's go Houston and Cubs. Cubs beat them.
Cubs.
I like that pitching.
Do you? You Darvish? John Lester?
I like Chatwood.
Chatwood?
I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like Darvish, actually, in the National League.
Mm-hmm. You like that little pause move. That's what you really like, where he just
stalls. I like it all.
But you gave me that. That's subject to change, because I'm probably going to, once I really think about it.
By the time this comes out,
it's not going to be either one of them by the time I do something on the weekend.
We have to punctuate this somehow. Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know who I'm picking in the National League, but I would say the winner's coming out of the AL. It's going to be the Twins. No, seriously, it's going to be the Indians. That's my team. I love that pitching staff. I love Kluber. Dude just does everything right, and he knows how to change his approach a little bit in the postseason where he's the same guy throughout the regular season, makes a little alteration when he uses breaking ball, when he uses that backdoor two-seamer. I like the Indians.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, Minnesota Twins for me. It'll be the lowest rated World Series in the history of TV.
Then baseball will be dying.
Yes. We will, but I'm going to do my best to bring it back.
Who wins?
Oh, who wins? The Brewers.
Okay.
Travis Shaw is celebrating in front of the Fonzie statue.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You got it.
You bet.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.